This is Terry Fenneman. Today is July 30th, 2020. I am interviewing Amy Johnson, the editor of the Springview Herald in Springview, Nebraska. She's also the current president of the Nebraska Press Association. For the Community Journalism in Middle America, Challenges and Innovations of COVID-19 Coverage Oral History Project. So why don't you start out telling us how long you've worked in journalism and a little bit about your career?
I started my career back in September of 2011, and I've been at it for 9 years now, didn't really have a journalism background, was thrown right in and have learned every day since then.
And you've been at your current paper the whole time?
Yes. Yep.
And what is your newspaper circulation?
About 700 has been pretty steady over those 9 years.
And how many people are in your newsroom?
Including myself, just one other person, so a whole staff of two.
Oh, wow. And what does the other person do?
She's assistant editor, and really in a small paper like that, there's the job title is everything. So there's nothing she can't do in my absence. So.
Okay. And then are you the owner of the paper?
Yes, my husband and I purchased the paper when we started in September of 11.
Okay, and what's your husband's name?
Eric.
So when did the impact of COVID-19 on your newspaper start?
Really mid-March, mid to late March, I would say, when schools started closing, businesses started closing their doors to foot traffic. That's what I would say it would probably impacted, had the biggest impact from there on.
So what specifically was the impact on your paper?
We chose to close our doors to foot traffic, just for safety reasons. And I felt like that was probably the best way. We didn't know at the time how this was going to pan out and how fast it would travel. So we thought that was the best way to address it. So.
Did you notice any changes with advertising or with subscriptions early on?
Besides closing our doors, we tried to stagger work. With just two of us, it was relatively easy, but stagger our schedules. And we put into necessary things to work remotely. We haven't necessarily needed to do that all the time, but we have put it in place that it is there. So.
And what kind of safety regulations have you put in place as far as when you do go out reporting?
Besides the closing the door, that's usually where we get most of our information and traffic. But we simply did all of our reporting from our office. All the meetings that we would normally attend, they were all teleconference. So we were able to participate in all of those and not skip a beat in covering those. And the events that we would normally cover that were canceled, we just reach out to individuals over the phone and made phone calls when we needed to.
Okay. How about for photography?
I usually did that. Besides wearing the mask, we didn't do a lot of large events. Our community is 250, our whole county is less than 1,000. So we didn't have too much to have to cover that we would need the photography that we would be having interaction with other people.
What is the pandemic like in your community? How many cases have there been?
Luckily, so far, we do not have any within our county. Our neighboring counties have a few cases, but it's not a lot. So.
How seriously do you feel your community is taking the pandemic since they haven't had any cases?
I would say if you scale it 1 to 10, I'd say we are a 7. We're a very rural community, and when the pandemic hit in March, our very agriculture-based community, it was a time when ranchers were busy with calving and farmers were preparing for planting season. But for the most part, I felt and still feel that those who live here look out for themselves and their neighbor to ensure everyone's safety. So I think as a community, our individuals did a really good job. there's always a few that aren't going to abide by all the rules, but for the most part, I feel like our community did take it seriously and set in place what they needed to for the safety of themselves and others.
How have you personally adjusted to being a journalist during the pandemic as far as there being more breaking news, maybe juggling more family obligations? You know, tell us about some of those things.
I would say the biggest impact on myself personally would be when the kids went home from school for e-learning. We had to schedule or juggle it that way, but we already had everything set up for remote working. And that was the biggest thing. And having an outside support system to help me get my newspaper out every day was pretty key in our success. But I feel that juggling a busy schedule is relatively common anymore. So the multiple hats that you wear, whether it's a reporter or an organization leader, I think everybody, the schedules seem to lessen. But that's not a bad thing, I guess.
What are the ages of your kids?
10 and 7.
Oh, so you had little kids that you were having to juggle. How did you go about trying to keep them on track while also still covering things?
You know, they've grown up the oldest one being 10, and I started 9 years ago. He's pretty used to attending events. Both of them are, really. To when I need to go cover a meeting, go to a basketball game. They're pretty good about entertaining themselves. So it wasn't anything for me to work from home. They knew what if I was under a deadline or if I was on a Zoom call. They were pretty good about it. But I'm very structured. So we immediately got what time we're working at math, what time we're doing science. And that helped that we got a lot of our schooling done in the first part of the day and allowed me to work in the afternoon. So.
How have the number of hours you work each day been impacted by the pandemic?
That was probably the biggest thing. I switched to part-time when the kids left for school and still needed some structure for school on my part. Besides my hours, that was the biggest thing. My coworker was able to remain full-time throughout this pandemic, which is exactly what she wanted to do. So I lessened my hours and still was able to work what I needed to and finish stories from home, which was pretty common for myself anyway.
And what is your coworker's name?
Kelsey.
How has the news strategy for your newsroom changed as a result of the pandemic as far as print, online, and social media?
We've really stayed the course, and I'm really proud of that. Our print has been steady. We've never had to skip a week. For lack of funds or coverage. We had just went live with our website right before the pandemic hit. So that was a great resource and tool to have that up and running prior to this, actually the pandemic hitting. But probably our biggest change was our social media platform. That's really increased. With COVID changing so quickly, I feel like we needed to have it almost a daily/hourly presence. And since we're a weekly publication, it was imperative that we also put any changes on our Facebook page and through word of mouth. If they weren't on a social media platform, they usually heard from a neighbor, a friend, or something. So I think that was probably the biggest thing that we've really increased is our social media presence to make sure that our readers know what was going on.
So that's something that's come up with other weeklies that I've talked to where they're becoming more like daily publications. Is that something that you think will continue after the pandemic?
I'm going to say yes when it's necessary. Our paper experienced a wildfire, our community did, and that was a 24-hour round-the-clock kind of coverage that we also did on our Facebook page, and that was back in 2012. And, you know, not only are we a small community, but or a small staff, but we're very involved in what's going on in the community. And I think that knowing that people were out there looking concerned, what was going on, what's happening at home. Maybe they have, there's a family here, but their parents or their kids are grown and gone. Knowing what's happening in the community through the social media was, I think, a relief that we were putting that information out there.
So talk a little bit more about your website and what your strategy is. You know, Are you putting every story up there right away, or tell us more about that?
Our website, besides having our a feed to our Facebook page, so if there's a COVID case count changes, that goes right onto our homepage of our website. But we don't post any of those up there, any stories on our website. It's more of a, I wouldn't say it's a static page, but it's, you can go on there. You don't necessarily have to have a social media account to be able to go on our website and see on our Facebook page, because it's on our homepage.
How have you tried to balance pandemic coverage while still providing coverage of other things?
You know, it's common for us to regularly run feature stories in lieu of sporting and community events that we would normally cover. This gave us and allowed us more time, really, to dig deeper into certain stories. So how the school was handling COVID, you know, directly, how they began their lunch programs. We dug into those stories and found feature stories in that regard. So the lack of coverage that we would normally be having for community events and sporting events, we filled with feature stories about how the pandemic is affecting certain businesses, how the kids are dealing with e-learning. We did a feature story on that. So really, we had to think outside the box, but we found some really great feature stories that would fill our pages and we've had good feedback from our readers on.
So talk a little bit more about the financials. You know, other newspapers have seen some pretty steep advertising cuts. So tell us a little bit more about your publication.
You know, I will say that, in all honesty, we have, when I prepared for this podcast, I looked back and looked to see what our financials were from last year to this year. And yeah, we've lost some advertising. We don't have the feature stories that maybe somebody would pick up and grab an extra copy for. But I think in full part of our staff, myself and Kelsey, we went an extra mile to make sure that we have additional revenue. We've been putting more of our work into marketing and to find some revenue projects that we've gained actually through the pandemic that we hope to see continue. But rather than where we know there's going to be a reduction because of events that can't be advertised or covered, we've worked really hard to find ways to fill in those gaps and try to weather the storm that way.
Can you be a little more specific? What are you referring to when you talk about marketing projects?
You know, we always try to put together advertisements prior to visiting with a potential customer. So we've dug a lot into things that they've done in the past. You know, a lot of the times we just don't have, with a staff of two and covering a lot of miles in our coverage area, we don't have the chance to always do that digging deep into those things. And I think that allowed us to do that this year and put together new advertisements, fresh looks, and that kind of thing.
How have you filled your sports pages with the lack of sports?
I say for the school coverage, we did a lot of how those kids were adapting to e-learning. And we don't have a designated sports page. We have a school page that covers academics and the sports. So, and with state prep not being there, we miss out on a lot of that stuff, but we did some feature stories with the coaches and that kind of thing. So I think focused more on school and academics.
You're president of the Nebraska Press Association this year. What are going to be some of your priorities? You know, what things are you hearing from members? What help do they need? Tell us a little bit more about that.
I visited with Dennis Durasset, our executive director, several times. And one of the things that, you know, this pandemic puts everything into perspective, and the longevity, finding creative ways to find stories and that kind of thing. And one thing that I would like to focus on is making sure that we have all of our tools accessible to our members and advertisers that want to work with NPA on our website. That would be one of my things. And the other thing is newspaper secession, making sure that we have that next generation of journalists who want to come to a newspaper And maybe they're sports, you know, journalists, maybe they're editorial, maybe they're feature or entertainment, but finding those journalists who are interested in working in those environments that would maybe take on an extra duty and say, well, we're a smaller paper, we're going to do, you're going to do sports and entertainment. Can you tackle both of those? But finding those right people and the newspaper succession to make sure that that newspaper continues, I guess, has been my biggest goal.
What have you heard from members as far as the toll that the pandemic is taking on them and things that would help them right now?
I guess I've only talked to a few, but I would say probably like just having to work remotely, I guess I would say, and making sure they had everything set up in place to do that. And then just the camaraderie of when you're putting a story together, feedback sounding board, and not having that just one-on-one interaction when you put a story together or prepare for a story is, I think, by nature, newspaper people are people persons, I guess. And so I think that just not having that interaction and coverage is a big part. Ready to get back to normal.
How do you see the business model for the industry changing as a result of the pandemic?
I guess my perspective is a relatively simple one, but if anything, community newspapers now more than ever have been a trusted source, especially community newspapers, for honest impacts of how it's going to affect their life, day-to-day life. And people are resourceful and creative. And I think newsrooms are searching and finding ways to, for avenues for, oh gosh, I want to say that, finding a way to find the revenue and making sure that the readers know, advertisers know the importance of the newspaper and the information they're putting out there and how it's affecting their readers.
So beyond the financials, how do you think the pandemic is changing journalism as an industry?
That one, I did not know how to answer that one, Terry. I struggled on that one, and I don't have an answer for that one. So,
what innovations have you or your newspaper undergone that you think have been beneficial?
Reflecting on that one, I would say the biggest one was probably time management. Forcing myself to work part-time and getting a full-time schedule in was probably the biggest thing, and making it happen. And making connections through a phone call. And that seems like such a small thing, but in a pandemic when you're isolated and you were already in a remote area, that picking up a phone call and talking to that advertiser or that reader, or making that, you know, visiting with someone for a story over the phone versus an email, I think was a big difference that we've noticed. And I really truly hope that stays as a practice that we continue as the one-on-one conversations with them versus trying to get things through an email.
What changes, if any, have you noticed with your reader base during the pandemic?
I have some pretty faithful readers, so I really haven't noticed any. They've stayed the course. Our rack sales have pretty much remained the same. And if anything, we realized from just conversations that people are turning to their community newspaper to find the COVID facts specifically for our area, for their hometown, and then the regulations to the directed health measures. I found that we've fielded our newspaper office has fielded phone calls on how what the current DHMs are. What does that mean? Can we have this? You know, and if we can't get that into our paper, we direct them to our local health department. But I have found that's one of the sources is they're looking to the community newspaper. There's so much information online that their community newspaper is directed to them in his local area. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed, the comments from people that they're looking to the newspaper for current regulations and changes in the COVID landscape.
How has the pandemic influenced you personally?
Oh, I would say the biggest thing is, it's given me a reality check. I guess I want to say what's important in my life and my family and my health are the top two priorities. And if those, I have those two things, and everything else falls into place. But, you know, when the pandemic hit and the kids were home and we were together 24/7, you know, it, living in a rural agriculture-based community probably was the biggest blessing. Although we've remained relatively isolated, our kids can go outside to run in our acres and acres of fields. We're able to live and function, you know, within that environment safely. And that's brought a lot of conversations with our kids. And I think that's the biggest part of it, is that putting life into perspective and what's important. So.
What changes to your newspaper operations during the pandemic do you expect will continue when it's over?
Well, definitely making sure that we connect with our readers and advertisers. Like I said, with the one-on-one phone calls or visits when we stop by when it's safe. But we've also received, like I said, accolades from our feature stories that we've ran on how it's affecting businesses that of people that they know, they own, or they're customers of. And then we've done in-depth stories about individuals and businesses and how the pandemic has affected the local businesses. But I know that our readers have enjoyed that, and I hope that we can continue keeping that interaction with our readers with the stories that we're running.
What changes to newspaper operations are you most ready to just be over and go back to normal?
I will be excited to go to a sporting event. And in these small rural communities like this one, our sporting events and our community events really, whether it's a pancake feed or a street dance or a football game, people, that's when people have to take the time away from their agriculture lives to socialize. And we haven't had that. And I really will, I'm ready for those things to start and be done with social distancing.
How has the pandemic influenced your views of the role of journalism in society?
I would say that how important it is that we remain a trusted source for our news and directly impacts our readers. You know, I don't have a lot of readers from an urban city-based area. I have some, but I don't. So I want to focus on how my paper is impacting the lives of the people who pick it up for their daily calendar, what's happening when the blood pressure screening is happening. And I hope that, you know, through this, that our role as a journalism, they realize how important it is that the information that we put out, you know, how it affects them every day.
What do you want readers to know about journalism right now, going off of what you just said?
That true journalism is essential, and that there are thousands of great journalists working around the clock to make sure that the information that you need and that you want is there, ready, available. And I realize that sometimes it can be a thankless job, but it's an essential job. And I think people need to know how hard journalists work to put that information that they receive there.
What do you want journalists 100 years from now who may be covering a new pandemic? What do you want them to know?
Tell you what, this was a hard one, Terry, because I do. I look back at our papers. I look back 100 years for what happened in our community. And that is the one source. And I tell myself that regularly, that what I'm putting in the paper is where they're going to find that source 100 years from now. So if anything, to always remember that when you're putting those stories in your newspaper, that you are printing your community's history, and that print matters to subscribers and advertisers of our publication. And people need to be gearing our information to exactly that, writing the history of our community, how this pandemic is affecting them, whether it's the markets for agriculture, whether it's if the grocery store is open, can I get gas? How far can I go? Can I get to the doctor? You know, those are the information that one of these days, you know, 100 years from now, someone will be looking and realizing how our community was resilient through a pandemic.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Only that through the pandemic, what comes to light? I mean, I hope there's some positives that come out of it. One being the resiliency of the people who it's affecting, whether it's the healthcare, whether it's journalists, whether it's first responders, that the resiliency of the people, especially newspaper industry, how we've gotten creative to fill those pages. We don't have those community events. We don't have those sporting events, but people have gotten creative. I pick up the papers that I subscribe to, and there have been some great feature stories. There have been some really in-depth stories. There's been some heartwarming stories, whether it's, you know, local seamstresses that sewed a mask. You know, I think those stories are important stories, and that's part of writing that history from 100 years from now, how people just stepped up, whether it's, you know, made food for the healthcare workers, whether it's sewing a mask. But those are all important to make a full story, to print it, paint a full picture, I guess, how we survived a pandemic.
Okay, this is the conclusion of this oral history.